Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 400. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here. For this very auspicious occasion, we have one of the greatest panels that we could possibly put together. We've had these guys on previously together to talk baseball. They are both longstanding FDH Lounge dignitaries. First of all, Ken Detweiler. I started out as a sidekick for him in terms of my association with him about a decade ago on his show Life's a Pitch at the Sports Talk Network. And Ken and I have been good friends and associates ever since. And Ken is, as I said, a longtime FDH Lounge dignitary. Also, Steve Callis, longtime FDH Lounge dignitary, and somebody who, again, was doing a program at the Sports Talk Network. It is now the rebranded the STN.net. You can catch him on there Monday through Friday, noon Eastern time. You can also catch him on WFAN and SNY. Let's bring them both on the program here. Ken Detweiler, my good friend, how are you tonight, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you, Rick?
I am doing fine. I can't wait for our 2014 MLB preview with you guys here. I've been waiting a long, long time to do this. This is going to be tremendous. Let's bring on the other gentleman, Steve Callis. Steve, welcome to the program, my friend.
Ken, as always, looking forward to it now.
Same here, my friend. You bet.
This is going to be amazing. Absolutely. It's great to get both of you guys on here. We are going to bravely try to battle through all six divisions in Major League Baseball here tonight. We'll get around to giving our overall predictions at the end. As we go through, gentlemen, you don't feel the need to get into everything with every team because we probably won't have time to do that. Whatever you guys think are the top notes for people to be paying attention to for each division, I would say, is the way to go and the way to be able to get all of us in here. We'll start with the American League East, and I will start first with you, Steve, since that is in your backyard. The five teams in the East, you have Boston outhouse to Penthouse a year ago, kind of shockingly coming up and winning the World Series. Tampa Bay, they kept David Price. They weren't necessarily expected to do so. They feel like where they always are, maybe an impact bat away from potentially contending for the World Series. The Yankees, an old team, maybe the worst infield in baseball, but Michael Pineda coming on here in the spring, a guy that could be a real boost to them in that starting rotation where they need it. Speaking of which, Baltimore, they always seem to need a little bit more pitching, but Buck Showalter always gets them playing over their heads. And then Toronto, flukishly bad a year ago, or just a team that's not as good as people thought they were a year ago. Steve, take it away. Whatever you think the most important things in the American League East are for this year.
Well, a good five-team division. I've eliminated Toronto and Baltimore because of their pitching woes. I bought into Toronto last year, and they have that incredible offense, but Dickey, Burley, I just don't think so. I think I like Tampa Bay in the AL East. They kept David Price, as you referenced. If they're nowhere in the middle of the season, they'll probably trade him because he will not be there next year. He's just going to price himself out of the Tampa Bay market. But since he's there, and Matt Moore, Alex Cobb, Archer was great last year, I think they have, if not the best pitching staff, one of the three best pitching staffs in baseball, and certainly the best in the AL East. I think Will Myers, a year older, now he's been there. I think he's the big bat to go with Longoria, so I think they can carry the offense. Tampa Bay always seems a little bit offensively challenged, as you referenced, but I think they have enough given their pitching staff and their experience last year. You know, they beat Texas in the playoff game to get into the playoff game, and then they beat the Indians in the wild card playoff game. So they do have the experience. I think Madden's the best manager in baseball. I know we'll do the picks later, but I'm going to pick the Yankees to be the wild card over the Red Sox. If you Yankee haters, I know I'm on with two of them, think there's a little New York bias there. If you think there's a little New York bias there, you're probably right. As you said, Rick, the Yankees have question marks galore. I don't think C.C. Sabathia is a number one starter. They just kind of announced that he's going to be the starter opening day, given what their rotation is in the last week of spring training. I've watched Tanaka pitch a lot. Obviously, he's not going to be 24-0. There's a lot to adjust to. You know, these guys pitch once a week in Japan, so Tanaka was the every Saturday pitcher. He throws low 90s. People say don't worry about the speed. His ball moves, and he's got a great splitter, but I just don't know if that's going to be enough. I think those hitters in Japan, for every Ichiro and Hideki Matsui, I think there's like 100 AAA players in the Japan Major Leagues. Kuroda was a Cy Young candidate for three quarters of the year, and then he fell off a cliff. But as you referenced, Michael Pineda, I thought he was going to be like a two for the Yankees. He hasn't been able to pitch. He's looked good in spring training. If he comes in, they might not have a standout ace. I don't think they do for a whole year, but I think they got four guys who can be twos or threes, and that'll be good enough. You know the additions, Beltran, Ellsbury. If anything, they have too many outfielders. Apparently Ichiro's the odd man out. McCann, the biggest pickup of all to me, a star catcher where they really struggled last year. So I think the Yankees are a playoff team. You know they lost Cano and Rivera and Pettit and A-Rod, of course, so you're right about the infield, but hopefully a healthy Jeter and a healthy Teixeira gets them over the hump. I think they just nose out Boston. I don't have a lot to say from Boston. As you said, 2 years ago they were horrifically bad. Everything went terribly wrong. Last year they were unbelievably good. Everything went right and was great. This year I think they're going to fall in the middle.
Absolutely, yeah. Somewhere in between where they were the last 2 years seems reasonable. I agree with you on Tampa to win the division. That's kind of my sense as well, is that the pitching may carry them. Maybe Desmond Jennings takes another step forward. That would certainly help that offense a lot. Ken, what do you think? And looking at the East again, it is one of the toughest divisions, I would say, in all of sports. And, again, when you come out of that thing, you are definitely battle-tested, as Boston proved in going through October last year.
Yeah, I think, just like with what Steve said, it's going to be between Tampa Bay and Boston. You could go old school and say, hey, you
I didn't say
Boston.
That, Ken.
No? I just wanted to see if you were listening.
Yeah, I'm listening.
There is a bias, you're right. But I think it is actually between Boston and Tampa Bay. And I think Tampa Bay's got the pitching. So, and I like Madden a lot. I have to agree with Steve on that, too. I think he's the best in the biz, even though we've got a good one here in Cleveland. But, yeah, he keeps the players loose, and they're innovative. I just love it. So I'd have to go to Tampa Bay to
strong.
Win that division.
Yeah, exactly. Madden is really on top of it with the shifts that they're doing and the very, very progressive embrace of the analytics. He really is the most ahead of the curve. So we seem to have a consensus already here, Tampa Bay in this division looking good. We'll see if the consensus maintains moving forward here. American League Central, so we'll start this one with you, Ken, since this is the division in yours and my backyard here in good old Cleavetown. You got Detroit at the top the last couple of years. They're starting to run into some conundrums with their contracts, the Jose Iglesias thing with him being out for the year. They still look like the best team in the division to me. They're a team picking to win it again. Cleveland, that 10-game winning streak at the end of last year just barely put them in the playoffs. They did nothing to advance really in the offseason as far as I can see. Maintenance moves at best, I think, if you're going to be generous. Kansas City, you've got the young players that really haven't become the big stars yet. You haven't seen Billy Butler is a borderline star, but you haven't seen him and Moustakas and the other guys really become megastars like they were supposed to, and I think that's kind of what's holding them back at this point. Minnesota, great pipeline, but they're a couple of years away in terms of these great prospects getting up there. And then the White Sox, they got Jose Abreu and maybe not too much else to hang their hat on, Chris Sale certainly, but with one slugger and one ace, that's not going to get you too far. So how do you see the Central shaping up, Ken?
Yeah, I'll go from the bottom. I think the Sox are in the bottom. Also with the Twins. The Twins really have some bright young kids coming up, and so the Sox have a couple, but they're going to be a non-factor this year for sure. The sexy pick, as I see it, is Kansas City, but I'm just not sold on Kansas City. They've had talent now for a couple of years and just have not got over the hump, although last year they had a very fine year. But I'm just not... You know, Cleveland finished whatever, a game behind Detroit,
yes.
You know, which that could have been a lot of luck on the Tribe's part, but it's just I don't know. I think it's good between Kansas City and Cleveland is the two horses I'm going to surprise you probably with, Rick, but I think there's too much chaos that's happened in Detroit. You've got a new manager, you know, you've got a, you know, was it Rondon who's hurt now? You've got Kinsler, is he going to fit in? You got the new third baseman moving pieces and parts around. I'm probably the only one in America is picking against Detroit here. But if I had to really be pressed to the wall, I'd go up to go with Kansas City, even though that is a sexy pick. But I don't see much here, really. I mean, but I just don't see Detroit being that much different than the rest of the teams in that division.
Very interesting. Yeah, it's that is really kind of a standout opinion from what you're hearing this year, if you're saying Detroit could be back in that pick. And what really is a garbage division? I think everybody would have to kind of agree with that if they were being honest as opposed to kind. How do you see it shaking out, Steve? I would guess that your opinion would be a little bit closer to the consensus, but that's just my guess.
Yeah, I think that's a good guess. I'm going to be a Detroit guy. I know they got rid of Prince Fielder. I know they got rid of Doug Pfister. But I think their rotation, look, Verlander had a very un-Verlander-like year last year. And I know Scherzer won the Cy Young, and you can't expect him to do that again. But you go Verlander, Scherzer, Anibal Sanchez, Porcello, and they got Drew Smyly for that number five starter. I think he's a pretty good pitcher. They got Joe Nathan to close. I think they're going to be in pretty good shape pitching-wise, and I kind of like Kinsler at the top of that batting order with Torrey Hunter, Cabrera, Victor Martinez. I mean, that's a brutal top four. They're going to be awful talented and awful good. But I also buy into what Ken said about the Royals. I think this is their year. I know last year when we did this show, I thought the Royals were a year away. And, yeah, they could have been better than they were, but I think the middle of the lineup, you're right, Rick, no super-duper stars. It's exploding, but Hosmer, Billy Butler, Alex Gordon in the 3-4-5. They got this guy Aoki to play right field, you know, 296, 367 OBP last year. I kind of like them. I like James Shields leading a wild card, maybe, pitching rotation like he did with Tampa Bay. So I'm going to pick them to be the wild card. I think Cleveland's the odd team out. Francona's a great manager, not a good manager. You saw what he did with the Red Sox. You saw what he did with Cleveland last year. But I think they're going to take a step back. And the reason I'm picking the second wild card out of the Central as opposed to the East is because I think Chicago and Minnesota, I think they're terrible. And that's going to be a lot of extra victories for the AL Central teams.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. That's very interesting when you guys picking wild cards out of there. By the way, I will go back. I'll just circle back and say I'll pick Tampa Bay to win the East and Boston to be a wild card coming out of there. So a little bit different from what you guys were saying. In the American League West, I'll start with you again on this one, Steve. You got Texas and Oakland, the big powers of the last couple of years, both of whom really getting the injury bug biting them this spring, especially Oakland with their pitching staff. So that's really got to take a bite out of the optimism that these teams are feeling. Texas, of course, with acquiring Prince Fielder in the offseason, letting Nelson Cruz go. So some moves in, some moves out for Texas as far as how they're trying to win their third pennant in what would be 5 years, I guess. The L.A. Angels, can Pujols, Hamilton, and the pitching rebound there? If you get enough elements that are rebounding, they may be able to make a move up with some of the other teams possibly feeling the injuries here. Seattle, they're trying to take a step forward. They're very bold with the Robinson Cano acquisition in the offseason. I don't think a lot of people see them as a contender yet necessarily. And Houston, this should be, I would say, probably a bridge year to respectability. They're a year away from respectability, to be sure, but you start getting the young kids coming up, George Springer et al., and this could be a bridge to whatever next year is going to be. So how do you see it shaking out, Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Oakland. I know about the pitching issues you talked about. Plus, as you know, they lost Bartolo Colon to those NL East contender New York Mets. I'm sure we'll talk about them shortly. Just half kidding. Mm-hmm. But I do like their pitching. I kind of like their lineup. I've always been a Coco Crisp fan. I like Cespedes. I think they're going to be okay. But really, the reason I'm picking Oakland is because I view the – other teams behind them, the Rangers and the Angels. The Angels, to me, have not dealt at all with their pitching problems. And, you know, I like the Angels. I bought into the Angels last year. I bought into Toronto last year, and the pitching defeated both of them, and I think it's going to happen again. And I think there's a real question mark about Albert Pujols. I think we spoke about this last year. I don't know how old Albert Pujols is. He came on the scene, and when he was a rookie, he played like he was 27 and had, you know, the first five greatest years since, like, Joe DiMaggio. So I don't know that Pujols is coming back. I agree that Trout is the best player in baseball. I just don't think they can get there. And Texas, they have Prince Fielder. They got Shin-Soo Choo. But Joe Nathan is gone. Can Neftali Perez be the closer? I don't really like their pitching staff. Yu Darvish up and down, but certainly can throw a no-hitter virtually any time out. But Ogando, Perez, Hanson, it's just not happening for me with the pitching. So I'm almost taking Oakland by default, understanding, of course, what you said about their pitching staff. They lost their closer, as you know, Grant Balfour, but they did get Jim Johnson to close, so I think they're going to be all right in the bullpen as well. So I'll pick a weak pick for Oakland, but I don't think that division is as good as we think it is because of the lack of pitching.
Absolutely, and what the injuries in the spring have done to the pitching. How do you see it shaking out, Ken? Ken?
I think it's the Angels' year this year. Yeah, I think that Hamilton and Pujols, these guys are going to have a little gas left in the tank, and things are going to go, all the planets are going to align. The A's keep doing it every year with Billy Bean and the gang, but yeah, I just don't see it. I think it's a weak division, like Steve said, too. Rangers, at first, I thought as the spring training started out that the Rangers were going to be the team, but too many injuries on the pitching staff. They're really starting to pile up there, so I'm going to have to go with the Angels on that.
I, again, kind of half agree with what you guys are saying on this. I'm going to take Texas to win the division. I'm staying with them, notwithstanding the injuries, and completely by default because I don't like much of the rest of the field. I will take the Angels as the second wild card team in the American League to probably get annihilated in the wild card game by Boston as it stands now. Although, again, Jared Weaver on a one-game situation, he is pretty much just about the only pitcher that I do like there. But I kind of agree with you a little bit, Ken, as far as Pujols and Hamilton bouncing back a little bit this year. That would make a pretty dangerous order if they did. Let's go to the National League. Let's look at the Eastern Division here. You start out with the defending champion Atlanta, who I actually jinxed in our preseason publication, Fantasy Baseball Draftology 2014, who I picked to win the World Series this year. A more potent jinx than the Sports Illustrated cover jinx, it would seem, after what happened to their starting pitchers down there in Florida. So that's been the big story for Atlanta. Nothing but bad news in spring training after locking up Freddie Freeman in the offseason. Washington, we talked about teams flukishly bad last year like Toronto. Washington, all the more so, probably flukishly bad, at least relative to expectations. They were in the high 80s, which should have been more than that. The Phillies, really looking old. I think you could take everything we said about the Yankees and kind of cut and paste to what we're saying about Philadelphia. The Mets, without Harvey, no hope this year. They're building a young nucleus, but they're still a year or two away without Matt Harvey. No hope at all, it would seem. Miami, again, probably still too young and cheap to contend in this division, it would seem. Ken, how do you see it shaking out, my man?
Dave, well, I think the Phillies is kind of sad on one hand to see what they've done, what's happened to them over the years. The window, I think, has closed for sure. The Mets, I see the same old Mets. The Braves, I see always as a contender. But I think the surprise team or the team that's going to really make some noise, but are really not going to just, they're just going to really, really improve, is Miami. I think those guys are really collecting a lot of young, young talent. And, but I see the Nationals winning it. Actually, probably giving it away here. I'm picking the Nationals to win the whole deal, this year. So that's how I pretty much see it.
Spoiler alert, you may not be the only one. I was going with Atlanta to win it all prior to this, but I'll take Atlanta still as a wild card, and I'll take Washington to win the division. Steve, in your estimation, again, you are an East Coast guy. You're a little bit closer to the situation, at least geographically, than Ken and I. What's your perspective on it?
Yeah, I buy into the Washington Nationals not to go all the way, but certainly to win the NL East. When you look at the fact that they got Doug Fister from the Tigers, and they go Strasburg, Jordan Zimmerman, Gio Gonzalez, Fister, Detweiler, I guess will be the fifth starter. When you look at plugging in Fister with a 3.67 ERA in the American League for Dan Haran, who I like but just was terrible in Washington last year, 4.67 ERA, that's going to make them the best or second best ERA in the National League. And, of course, they have a very nice lineup with guys like Zimmerman, Harper, Worth in the middle, Adam LaRoche, you know, if he can produce. I like them to win the East, and I'm also going to pick the Braves to be a wild card. You know, Medlin, I think, is gone for the year, so they've got some pitching issues. So I didn't think they were going to catch the Nationals before, but I didn't think they were going to catch the Nationals last year either. And, of course, the Braves won that division pretty easily. The only downside of the Nationals may be Matt Williams, the new manager. I was a Davey Johnson guy. Of course, he was getting on in years. I don't think that's going to override their talent to keep them from winning. I don't think they're going to win the World Series, but I have the Nationals in the East and the Braves as a wild card. And the Marlins, Mets, and Phillies, you know, I just think are far away. I agree with Ken that when Harvey comes back next year, you know, plus they picked up Granderson, I think the Mets can do some damage next year, but we'll just hold that till this time next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people would probably agree with that take. And Atlanta, again, they looked like when they still had Medlin and Vichy in there, because they've still got they've got Tehran, who's going to be the opening day starter, it seems like. Mike Minor, who's also gone down for a lesser period of time. They looked like maybe they could stack up depth-wise in terms of pitching with Washington, but this spring has certainly put an end to those thoughts. And, again, if they do have strength in starting pitching, which I think they do, it still looks to be a little bit kind of top-heavy as opposed to being able to go four or five deep like Washington does. In the Central, you've got the teams that ended up taking the playoff spots away from Washington. They made a very good run at the wild card spot at the end, but Cincinnati and Pittsburgh held them off for a 1970s type playoff game there, a revival of that rivalry they had in the 70s and also again in 1990 in the National League Championship Series. Cincinnati, again, they're always steady. They're right up there towards the top perennial threat. They just need to stay healthy, certainly, and for Johnny Cueto, that is a real concern of the last couple of years. Pittsburgh trying to show if they are for real. Their first year above 500 in a long, long time, really ever since Barry Bonds left, and then ultimately making that playoff run that they were on. Milwaukee, they really kind of fell off quickly last year. It looks like they may kind of struggle to get back up. The Cubs, clock starting to tick maybe a little bit on Theo Epstein. It's going to be another bad year there. How many bad years in a row before they start to get it going? People are going to start asking that, particularly with the ballpark questions coming into play. But then St. Louis, they are pretty much everyone's ideal franchise in Major League Baseball, and sort of shades of when San Francisco lost the Super Bowl a year ago, but there were more people picking them to win the Super Bowl the next year than the Baltimore Ravens. You have kind of the same thing. You probably have more people picking the Cardinals to win the World Series this year than you do Boston to repeat. So in this division, how do you see things shaping up there, Steve?
I'm going to go with the Cardinals to win the division. Again, I like their pitching. Waka became a star last year. Adam Wainwright, of course, Shelby Miller. They have a great lineup. You know, this is an organizational thing. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. I was a little disappointed, though, that a team like the Cardinals would throw $52 million at Johnny Peralta, really the first very large post-biogenesis 50-game suspension contract guy, but they really had a hole at short, and they've certainly plugged it. I think Johnny Peralta is a good player, maybe not as good without steroids, but I think they had to plug that hole. I'm really a big Matt Adams fan. When this guy hit the ball explodes off his bat like very few other players in baseball, and of course they have Yadier Molina. You know, it's the same cast of characters, pretty much Carpenter and Matt Holliday and Alan Craig. They're going to start with Colton Wong at second. I kind of like him, but they also, I thought, had a key signing as a backup in Mark Ellis, because he can come in and fill in at any time. John Jay's on their bench. Daniel Descalzo's on their bench. How do these guys do it? Trevor Rosenthal's their closer. So I do like St. Louis. I was thinking about trying to pick between the Pirates and Cincinnati to be a wild card, but actually I don't like either. Nobody likes A.J. Burnett, but I think he helped the Pirates tremendously, both in the clubhouse and pitching-wise. I think they're going to take a step back. Cincinnati, new manager. You saw the terrible thing that happened to Chapman a few days ago. He's out at least until May 1st. Billy Hamilton, do they have? You know, this guy's the fastest guy in the history of the world, but can he get on base? I think his OBP in the minor leagues, OBP was 308. Brandon Phillips, their two-hitter, not an OBP guy. I think it was 310 last year. So as good as Joey Votto is, and he's like an MVP candidate, it seems like every year, and Bruce as well is a very good hitter. You know, are they going to have guys on base when they get up? So I'm going to say St. Louis, Pirates and Cincy battle for second. When Theo Epstein took the job, I said they'd build a statue of him outside Wrigley Field if they could win, but they don't seem to be much closer to getting out of the last place, never mind, you know, winning a playoff spot. So I think the Brewers and the Cubs are out of it. I think it's a Cardinals win, and they're the only team from the Central for me to make the playoffs.
I don't look at it much differently than you do. I'll give the wild card to the Reds. But, yeah, I like St. Louis to win the division, as do most people probably. They have Oscar Tavares, too. Don't sleep on him in the outfield,
mm-hmm.
a possible Rookie of the Year candidate when and if he gets called up. Colton Wong, of course, making his debut on the national stage last fall, making, unfortunately, the Wong base-running move there for the Cardinals. But a kid that's got a lot of talent and a kid that, again, himself might be a dark horse contender for Rookie of the Year. Ken, what's your assessment of the National League Central as you see these teams stacking up?
Well, I see the Pirates taking it to the Cardinals, but the Cardinals are such a machine. I mean, I'm just, as a baseball student of the game, as we all are, it's phenomenal how they keep churning guys out. Listening to Steve talk about the guys on their bench and the guys that are playing here and there, and we, to me, one of the most exciting young players is Waka. When I saw him in the playoffs, I was just mesmerized by this guy. I'm thinking, man, he's so young, but so dialed in with his stuff. And it's like they just keep producing these guys one right after another after another. You've got Jaime Garcia, who's on the DL, who is a phenomenal pitcher. And is he even going to have a spot when he gets healthy in the rotation? It's incredible. So I see the Cardinals running away with this. Pirates finish in the second place. The Cubs, you guys described it, they should be in the AL Central with the Indians and the rest of the teams. They're not much at this point. And the Reds, like I said, can't get over the hump. I think the Brewers have a bright future to some extent, but I just see the Cardinals. They just got it. Whatever it is, their front office, the whole package, they've got it all together.
Well, you talk about pitching depth there, Ken. You got a situation where Trevor Rosenthal, the new closer, is a guy who very easily could be a starting pitcher with a lot of other teams. They have the luxury of converting them to closer there. Same thing with the eighth inning guy, Carlos Martinez. That's a guy that should be a starting pitcher for most other teams, but because they don't have enough spots to go around, gets put into the bullpen and becomes a shutdown guy there. In terms of Milwaukee and the Cubs, one other thing for each of them. For Milwaukee, don't sleep on in the outfield. The other Chris Davis, Chris with a K, he came on and very limited at bats last year, but showed great power replacing Ryan Braun, who they are going to get back this year, speaking of Biogenesis cheaters, as we were earlier. And the Cubs having to replace that farm system. I will give Theo Epstein a little bit of the benefit of the doubt there. They were completely barren when he got there. They're doing a little better now. But, yeah, they're going to have to start to show results at some point here. National League West, again, everyone seems to be giving this already to the Dodgers, just like how everyone seems to be giving the Central to the Cardinals. But then again, we were doing this a year ago, and it really kind of proved to be the case in both instances. With the Dodgers, again, they really are the new Yankees. They are what the Yankees were 10 to 15 years ago, maybe even a little bit more recently. But the Yankees have not been getting the bang for their buck recently as much. The Dodgers still pretty much are. You've got Arizona. They've been making risky trades, doing weird kind of things for a while now. They see themselves as a contender. I don't know how much the rest of the world does. I don't really think that I do. Colorado, again, it's the perennial story. You always got to get consistency with pitching there, and it's very tough at Mile High. San Diego seems to be a very popular sleeper pick, particularly amongst the hipster set. We'll have to see if they can live up to it, particularly with the pitching that I think some people are looking to see develop. And San Francisco, team Brett Saberhagen, it's an even-numbered year, so maybe there is some hope for them this year. Ken, what's your estimation of the National League West, my man?
Hey, welcome to the hipster stud. I like the Padres. can't believe I'm saying that, but yeah. Never thought I'd be a hipster, but there you go. But no, I see them as a team with a lot of promise too in this division. The Rockies, I think it's going to be based on health for these guys. If Tulo can, you know, last the whole season, I think they'll make some noise, but I don't think they're a contender at all. The D-backs, that's a head-scratcher. I don't know what they're doing half the time. Perhaps they don't either. Giants, you cannot sleep on those guys. They've surprised me in the past. You look at their lineup, and it looks like they got a bunch of banjo hitters in there, and yet they are always a threat, it seems. But I'm going to have to go with the go follow the money on this one. Go with the new Yankees, the Dodgers out on the West Coast there. Again, they just got too much, and now they've played together for a year. That outfield, the four outfielders of that kind of caliber, is just amazing. So, and they don't have a bad pitching staff either. So, going to go with the Dodgers.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all. When you got Kershaw and Greinke at the top of it, arguably the best 1-2 combination out there. When you look at how Greinke had the best year of his career, aside from possibly his 09 Cy Young Awards season. And again, San Francisco, like you said, a lot of banjo hitters, but Brandon Belt, maybe a guy who's able to step up and maybe get to another level. As far as goes back with the Dodgers, again, one last note on them before I turn it over to Steve here, is that Matt Kemp, they haven't even really gotten much out of him the last 2 years. Think about what that lineup's going to look like if you have Matt Kemp stepping up like Hanley Ramirez did last year when he reemerged. If you have Kemp and Ramirez all of a sudden both looking like they're in their prime once again, that is going to be real dangerous when you combine that with Yasiel Puig and everything else they got. Steve, what's your assessment of the National League West? It seems to be the Dodgers and a whole lot of unpredictability, according to most people.
Well, I'm buying into the Dodgers to go to the World Series, and I'm buying into the Giants on their, I guess, even-numbered year to at least make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win at all. But the Dodgers, my new favorite player last year, we spoke a lot about him, Yasiel Puig. The fact that he didn't make the All-Star team last year is one of the biggest travesties in the history of baseball. I know the All-Star game is not a big deal, but this guy did things that nobody in the history of the world did except, like, Joe DiMaggio, for example. So with him and Carl Crawford at the top of the order, then you go Ramirez, Adrian Gonzalez, Matt Kemp. The four outfielders is interesting because Andre Ethier, none of them want to sit on the bench. If Kemp is healthy, Ethier looks like the odd man out. I don't know if they would try and trade him for a pitcher. I don't know if they can get a pitcher for him because the bottom of their rotation, they have a great big three, as you referenced, but Heron, Beckett, you know, you love Beckett, but is he Beckett? You know, Paul Mahalam might be in there. Chad Billingsley had his Tommy John. You know, we should have had a Tommy John surgery list at the beginning of all this. But he had his in April last year, so he might be able to come back in May. So they do have some depth. They actually have seven starting pitchers, including the big three. Of course, they already got off to that 2-0 start in Australia, which helps them. And Puig looked to me like he was raking it just like he was last year. I think he got a little tired at the end of the year, but I think they're the best. I'm picking the Giants to be second, with the caveat that they have the greatest name pitching staff in baseball in terms of name players, Cy Young winners. I just don't know where they are now. Bumgarner has been announced to be their opening day starter. Matt Cain was terrible and then great. Lincecum was a mystery. Tim Hudson coming off that ankle injury. Ryan Vogelsong is easily the best number five starter in baseball, if in fact he is the number five starter. But, you know, when I talk those five names, if they're healthy and can all start, you know, 30 in the low 30s, I think they're definitely the wild card. And I don't quite agree with the banjo hitter analysis of the Giants. You know, Buster Posey, not a banjo hitter. Hunter Pence, 27 home runs. Pablo Sandoval. And they also acquired Michael Morse, and I know he's on the downside, but who knows if he could be another power guy. So they have a chance, and Brandon Belt could become also. So you're right, they don't have that 40 home run guy or 50 home run guy. But to me, they got four or five guys who can hit it out right in the middle of their order. So I give them a big shot to be the wild card. I think Arizona, Corbin got hurt. I don't think they're going to quite get there. And I just don't like San Diego or Colorado this year, although I buy into San Diego maybe. As I said about the Royals last year, I'll say about San Diego this year. Give them another year, and we'll talk this time next year about the San Diego Padres.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And, you know, San Diego, again, I just can't stress it enough. All the fellows in the skinny jeans and the hipster black-rimmed glasses are picking San Diego this year. I can't quite get on the bandwagon for that. San Francisco, I just want to follow up quickly on that. It's a thing where you are right about that, I think, Steve, but it's a notion of where it seems like almost half the lineup is guys that you don't really fear pitching. You're talking about what could be the core of the lineup, and that's if we see Brandon Belt taking another step forward, and that's if we see Kung Fu Panda having the kind of year he's capable of having. He's kind of a coin flip as to whether he's in there or whether he's somebody that you don't fear at all. But assuming the best, even with that core of four guys in there, doesn't it hurt the fact that you have, and again, everybody has the pitcher in the National League, so you could have five possible dead spots in that San Francisco lineup if all goes wrong.
Well, they got Pagan, Scudero when he gets back. He's got some back trouble. That's not a bad 1-2 punch. But then you go Belt, Posey, Hunter Pence, Sandoval, Michael Morris. I think that's pretty good, 3-4-5-6-7. Yes, no 40 home run guy, but Pence alone with 27 last year. Brandon Crawford's their number 8 hitter. I think the point is a good one. But again, I think there's going to be enough there. I think their future, frankly, this year's success relies more on that starting five staying as a starting five, or at least four of the five, and you can plug somebody in, maybe Yusmeiro Petit or someone like that. But I'm not overly confident. That's why I picked them as a wild card, and the second wild card, in fact, because
sure,
name-wise, these guys at one time or another are either great pitchers, Cy Young Award winners, or Cy Young contenders, all five of them, but I just don't know how they're going to stay healthy all year.
Yeah. It's uncanny how much you said about them, although you're talking about pitchers and I'm talking about hitters. That's almost my exact rationale for taking the Angels in the American League as a wild card, is that, again, lack of faith in anybody else out there, the fact that the main guys in the Angels lineup, I think, may assert themselves. Let's take a look at the big picture here on how we see the playoffs shaking out. I will say in the American League, I've got Tampa Bay over Texas in the American League Championship Series. In the National League, again, for whatever reason, I keep wanting to stay in the East. I was saying Atlanta to win the National League. I will now say Washington. I'll take Washington over the Dodgers. And I will take, and it's very tough for me to go, I go back and forth on this. I'll say Washington over Tampa in seven in the World Series. That's my pick. It's one that you probably won't see in too many quarters out there. You might see some people going on Tampa, some going on Washington, but you probably won't see that combination very much, I would think. So let's go to you, Ken. What's your pick for the World Series this year? How do you see it going?
Well, I see Tampa Bay winning the American League, and I see the wild card teams as Boston and Oakland. I see the Angels winning their division and Kansas City winning theirs. The Tampa Bay coming out of the American League. In the National League, I see the Braves as a wild card team and also the Pirates. Cardinals winning that division over the Pirates. The Dodgers winning theirs and the Nationals winning the East and facing the Rays in the World Series. And, Rick, this is going to astound you, I'm sure, but I have the Nationals over Tampa Bay.
No sooner do I say that than probably the only other person in America makes the same combo. Okay, well, Ken, you and I will have bragging rights if that comes to pass. Us two and maybe not a whole lot of other people.
Yeah, watch out for liking to hit us both now. So, but
that's
how I feel.
Yeah, what do you know? I know we're not going to go 3-for-3 on the same prediction from what Steve has said, but how do you see it going, Steve? I know you said
we're not
coming out.
Yeah, we're not going 3-for-3, but I like Tampa in the AL East, the Tigers in the Central, the Athletics in the West. I like the Yankees and the Royals to be the wild card. And, you know, we should mention, I think it's now become much more difficult, if not impossible, for a wild card team to win because they have the one-game playoff. Or in the case of Tampa last year, as you recall, they had the one-game playoff to get into the one-game playoff. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
always going to hurt your pitching. You got to have your best guy ready for that one-game playoff game. So invariably, as opposed to in years prior to last year, you're going to be down a pitcher right at the start, and you're never going to start your 2, 3, or 4 guy unless the rotation just worked that way. And then if you do, you'll be in that disadvantage in the wild card game. So I'm going Tampa, Tigers, Athletics, Yankees, and Kansas City in the wild card. I don't like any wild card teams. So I think it'll be a long time before you're going to have anyone say a wild card team can really win the World Series. I don't think that's going to happen for a while like it did in years past. But I like Tampa Bay over the Tigers in the American League. In the National League, I like the Nationals, like you guys, to win the East. I like the Cardinals in the Central. I like the Dodgers in the West. I like the Braves and the Giants for the wild card. But I think the Dodgers are going to beat the Nationals for the National League pennant. And then in the World Series, I think it's finally time for the Tampa Bay Rays to win one. Tampa beats the Dodgers in the 2014 World Series.
Wow.
Wow. Well, all three of us picking Tampa Bay to go to the World Series, one World Series championship prediction among the three. So got to think that for FDH Lounge, Dignitary, and 21st Century Media Alliance stalwart Jeff Briscoe down in the Southwest Florida, he's got to be very glad to hear that, I'm sure. Again, the Tampa Bay Rays, very impressive franchise, kind of a shame that they're probably going to lose David Price one way or another after this season. But again, a very, very strong team perennially, and yeah, it just might be their year. Gentlemen, any other predictions, any other thoughts for the Major League season that we haven't touched upon? Steve, I'll start with you.
Just in general, I think Tampa's been knocking on the door. I remember writing an article 2 years ago about how Joe Maddon had revolutionized defense and nobody had really understood it. Now, 2 years later, literally, every team plays some kind of shift on one or two or five or eight hitters in a lineup. I think he revolutionized the game. And I remember when I wrote the article, I wrote, the revolution has been televised for 2 years and nobody's watched it. But now, flash forward to 2013, now into 2014, everybody is stolen from Tampa Bay. So he always seems to be ahead of the curve. I think he's the best manager in baseball. I respect what Tampa Bay does. I'm not a Tampa Bay fan, but I think I've told you off the air, Rick, that my son has rooted for Tampa Bay since Tino Martinez was let go by the Yankees when they signed Giambi. My son put a curse on the Yankees. As long as Giambi would be there, they wouldn't win. He was right, but I've watched carefully for those last now 9 or 10 years, frankly, watch Tampa develop. Now, as you know, they got the number one pick like 6 or 7 years in a row. But they also had guys like Rocco Baldelli, who, you know, was a very good player who got that strange illness and couldn't quite come. They also got Josh Hamilton, who got into his own demons and problems. So despite those two top picks, they've still managed to punch out pitcher after pitcher after pitcher. I think they're the best organization in baseball. I think he's the best manager in baseball. And frankly, they've done everything but win a World Series. I think this is the year for them.
It just might be their time. Any closing thoughts, Ken?
Yeah, the only thing that I don't like about Tampa Bay is the facility they play in. It's, you know, as a somewhat of a baseball purist, watching the World Series at that stadium, just listening to us all here picking Tampa Bay to some extent. And I do love innovation. I love what Maddon does. I love the Billy Bean, small ball, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think the Major League is way behind the college game and that stuff, and I'm glad to see that kind of stuff being brought into the game overall. And I don't want to speak for you two gentlemen, but after the winter we've had, I can't wait for this season to start. It's like, it's enough already. Let's get here.
Yes. Yes, we are all victims of the northern climb in that way, and yes, we are definitely all, I know, looking forward to baseball season here. I want to commend you gentlemen here tonight as we are recording this. I knew that this was going to be a great discussion, and it was, but the amount of discipline that was shown by everybody as we make it through with it, a couple of minutes to spare all the way through, six divisions, and we had a lot to say. It's not very easy to do, but you guys really brought it in that way, as well as the knowledge and the conversation and everything else. Cannot thank you enough. Ken Detweiler and Steve Callis, truly a mini episode number 400 worthy conversation. I really appreciate it, as do the listeners I know. Thank you both, guys.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Steve. Be well, everybody.
Always a pleasure to be with you guys. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. Yeah, the pleasure is all mine, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you both, and thank you all, everybody, for tuning in to FDH Lounge mini-episode number 400.